Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for tuning in to the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. I am Chip Patterson. Hope the holiday season is treating you well, and we have our own meal of picks that we get to provide for you. It's been a little light week on the podcast because of the holiday season and realignment and lots of off-field issues, but you know, it's time to get comfortable, time to get back to the things that we do the best. So I'm excited to once again welcome back my family that I like to pull together, the Weekend Picks panel, Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hennin. Gentlemen, are you all thankful for the picks that you've made this year?
Yes,
reasonably
I'm very
so,
thankful.
Yeah. You know what,
I'm over 500 now.
Pick-wise. Hey, well, good job, Tom. That's excellent. I'm once again in second. I'm still behind Dennis Dodd by 5 games in our expert picks race, which is where I've been for several weeks, so it's a little bit frustrating. But I am thankful that, A, I'm that close, B, that I won 5 for fighting last week. Pretty stoked about that.
That is correct. We, in our first week of 5 for fighting, when we had Tom and Jerry debating the first 5 picks that they disagree on, it was a clean sweep by Mr. Fornelli, but Jerry has come roaring back in the second week, winning 4 of those 5 and bringing our total to 6-4. And so a lot's on the line in this 5 for fighting. I don't know. I guess we'll keep it going for the next week. But as far as a full slate of games, next week we'll have a lot of conference championships. But this is really our last full slate. So There's certainly plenty on the line here. I don't know what the trophy is going to be. Any suggestions, Tom? Do you, as far as what the trophy is, as the leader?
It should probably just be a picture of my face, because then it would be the most beautiful trophy in the world.
All right, and we're going to go right there, beginning with the vain Mr. Fornelli, and we kick off another round of 5 for Fighting. The first pick, which the two of them disagreed on in the CBSSports.com expert picks, is the Pac-12 battle. The Stanford Cardinal are going to be playing UCLA. Remember, UCLA has already clinched the Pac-12 South. Stanford needs a win to clinch the Pac-12 North, but if Stanford wins, they win the North and then rematch against UCLA the very next week. So let's start with Tom. What was your pick as with the Bruins? Remember, we picked at the Bruins as a 1.5-point underdog at home. Tom, what was your pick and why?
You know, I took UCLA plus the 1.5 points because I really think UCLA is going to win this game straight up. Although the conspiracy theorist in me is worried that UCLA will throw the game because it would rather play Stanford in the Pac-12 title game than have to go up to Eugene to face Oregon. But the conspiracy theorist in me is pretty much an idiot most of the time. So I took UCLA this week, and it's just they've been playing so well lately. They beat USC last week. They're playing wonderful in offense. Defense is still a little at times. But then I just look at Stanford, who, yeah, is definitely coming off the win against Oregon last week. But that kind of leads to a letdown this week, if you ask me. And plus, it's the second straight week that Stanford's on the road. So 2 weeks in a row on the road, coming off a huge win at Oregon. I feel a letdown coming from the Cardinals. So I'm going with UCLA.
Jerry?
If I was going to pick a team that would let down, to me, it's the team that has nothing to play for as opposed to everything to play for. Stanford can't win the Pac-12 if they don't win this week. Almost certainly. I mean, Oregon, if they lost to Oregon State. But assuming that's not going to happen, you know, this is do or die for Stanford. For UCLA, it's the opposite of that. They want to lose, let's be honest. Like, they don't want to go to Eugene to play Oregon for a Pac-12 title. It's the same team that just slaughter them, frankly, in the Pac-12 championship last year. That's not what they want to do. I think, you know, Jim Mora, I think in his limited time at UCLA, has proven nothing, if not crafty, let's say, with some of the injury skullduggery that's going on, you know, just things like that. I think UCLA buttons it up. I think they don't show their full package that they think would work against the Cardinal, because why do you want to do that when you're planning on playing them the very next week? I think Stanford wins this game by a touchdown. Stanford, you know, UCLA, yes, has been playing really well, but Stanford is also playing really well. They've beaten Oregon State and Oregon the the last 2 weeks. Yes, there's a possibility of a letdown, but I think UCLA is going to let even further down.
Tom?
See, I really don't think that any school or team is going to lose on purpose. You're right. They may be a little, you know, more vanilla with their plays just in case, but I think UCLA is going to win because not only, you know, yeah, they've got the trip to the Pac-12 title game sewn up, but UCLA has an outside chance of getting into the, you know, the top 14 of the BCS. A win here could keep them in there, even if they lose the Pac-12 title game, which would keep UCLA alive for an at-large BCS berth. I don't think they'd get it, but it's still a possibility. So to say UCLA has nothing to play for isn't correct.
Well, it may not be 100% correct, but they have a lot less to play for than Stanford does. And I'm not convinced UCLA is a better team than Stanford anyway. Kevin Hogan has done a great job taking over as quarterback. Stanford's always going to have that really solid running game to lean on. And UCLA's defense is not, a world-beating defense. I think Stanford can move the ball, control the clock. Stanford has dramatically the better defense here. I think even if we weren't talking about the motivational differences, I think I would still lean to Stanford in this case. I think they've just got the better team on both sides of the ball. And I think they win this game.
We got one of our classic in-state rivalries going on this weekend, South Carolina and Clemson. And I was discussing this with our friend, Mr. Bomani Jones, this week. We were saying that the rivalry between Sweeney and Spurrier, that is, it's almost taken on a new life, almost the way that Bowden and Spurrier used to go back and forth in Florida State, where Florida State is now very dull because Muschamp and Jimbo Fisher share a beach house. This is sort of where all the flavor is with the coaches. Gamecocks are traveling to Death Valley to play the Tigers, and Clemson is a 4.5-point favorite. Starting with you, Jerry, what was your pick and why?
Okay, I've got South Carolina winning this game. This is my upset bait pick for this week. I think the Gamecocks are in a similar fashion to Stanford and UCLA. Just a moment ago, we're talking about two teams that have, maybe one has a little bit better offense, but then the other has a way better defense. That's what we're looking at with the Gamecocks and the Tigers here. Yeah, clearly I think Todd Boyd, Sammy Watkins and company are more explosive, better offense than what South Carolina has to offer. But I think the gap is much wider on defense, where the Gamecocks have Jadeveon Clowney. They've got Shaq Wilson. They have a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball. I think that defensive line can do a lot to disrupt what Boyd and Watkins want to do on that side of the ball. The gap there between them and Clemson defense that just nobody is going to mistake for being a steel curtain or anything, that gap is much wider, I think, than the gap that we're going to see on offense. What worries me is that the Gamecocks haven't been as good on the road lately, but I think this is obviously a very short trip. I think, as you mentioned, these coaches hate each other. I think there's not going to be any kind of focus or motivational issues for the Gamecocks. They have the better team. I expect them to play like it.
It is not a steel curtain, Jerry. I think that Clemson's defense is more of like those hanging beads in a open doorway that you can just kind of push aside and go through. Tom, what was your pick and why?
I took Clemson. I agree with a lot of what Jerry says. South Carolina clearly has the much better defense in this matchup. But like you said, the Gamecocks haven't been playing well on the road, and it's not a far trip. But you'll remember Mr. Hinnon last week said USC wasn't making a far trip either, and that's why they were going to beat UCLA. So I'm taking Clemson because Clemson at home has just been a much better team. And Clemson, I think, aside from that loss to Florida State, which is a game they have a lead in, Clemson's been a very good team this year, and I'm not convinced that South Carolina is better than Clemson. I think that the Tigers are going to make a statement this weekend saying right now they're the better team than their in-state rival, and the ACC is actually going to get a marquee win against an SEC opponent this week.
Well, see, that's it right there. You're picking the ACC to get a marquee win over an SEC opponent. I hate to play the conference.
I threw up a little in my mouth saying it, I know.
Okay, well, as long as, we understand what we're saying here. Yes, Clemson has looked very good this season. Been a monster against the spread, really. And being at home for a game like this, it's a little spooky, yeah. But, South Carolina has had some really fantastic performances too. Beat Georgia, who may end up playing for a national championship like a freaking drum. The last time they were playing a game that was really kind of this big, this close to home. I just think Clemson, there's just not enough there. They've done a great job of beating up on the ACC, but it's beating up on the ACC. I want to see them do it against a legit team like the Gamecocks. And at this point, they got to show me. I don't think they can do it.
We've got the Bedlam rivalry coming up. It is, of course, Oklahoma State traveling to Norman to face Oklahoma. The Sooners are 8.5-point favorites. Oklahoma State offense, they got a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of them. It's a good problem to have, Mike Gundy says, as you're sort of shuffling them in and out. Tom, what was your pick here at 8.5 in favor of Oklahoma, and what was your reasoning?
I think Oklahoma's going to win this game straight up, but I took Oklahoma State plus the 8.5 points for a couple of reasons. One, first and foremost, is Oklahoma's been in a lot of close games the last few weeks. You'll notice that Sooners defense has not had a problem giving up points to offenses much like Oklahoma State's, like look at last week's game against West Virginia. And also, in a rivalry game like this, when the spread gets to, close to 10 points, I generally like to take the points because, Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma last year, and not just beat them, I mean destroyed them. And it's not the same team. There's a different quarterback this year. But I think the Cowboys have been playing well enough for the last month where an 8.5 points isn't going to be that tough for them to cover against an Oklahoma defense that's giving up points pretty easily right now.
Jerry?
I took the Sooners, both to win straight up and to cover, basically just because the Cowboys have not gotten it done on the road so far this season. They played only 3 true road games. They're relying on inexperienced quarterbacks, and we've seen that when they've gone on the road. They got drilled at Arizona, really, really struggled to put Kansas away, and then played a little bit better against Kansas State, but that was a game where Colin Klein didn't finish it because he scored the touchdown he couldn't remember. They're 0-3 against the spread, and Oklahoma, on the flip side, hasn't always been great at home, but when they've gotten it rolling against Kansas and a couple other teams, they've been pretty good. Traditionally, Oklahoma's been very good at home. I just think Oklahoma State's a little bit overrated at this point because of what they've been able to do at home, which admittedly has been very impressive. This is a rivalry game. I'm actually the only expert to have taken Oklahoma, with the points this week. But I think they get it done. I think, Norman's going to be rocking for this one. I think everybody remembers what happened last year, and Bob Stoops definitely remembers what happened with the Cowboys last year, and just doesn't want to see that happen again. I think Oklahoma's going to be really, really ready for this game.
Tom?
Yeah. You mentioned, Oklahoma getting rolling at home against Kansas. Well, it's a bit of a difference between Kansas and Oklahoma State. And also, the only other team Oklahoma's gotten rolling against at home this year is Florida A&M. The home game against Kansas State, they lost. Home game against Notre Dame, they lost. Home game against Baylor, they won by 8 points. The spread is 8.5. So, yeah, Oklahoma State has been better at home. There's no disputing that. And they are 0-3 on the road against the spread. But Oklahoma's only 2-3 at home against the spread. And those two wins came against Florida A&M and Kansas. So, Oklahoma State.
You and your damn facts, Tom. I don't really have a solid rejoinder to that other than to say Oklahoma is still capable of blowing people out at home. And again, I just think they're due for a really good game. West Virginia last week threw everything they had at Oklahoma, and the Sooners still came away with the win. West Virginia, maybe isn't as good as Oklahoma State, as we saw a couple of weeks ago. But I think Oklahoma's defense is due to play a little bit better. I don't think Oklahoma State's going to have quite that same kitchen sink effort to throw at them playing on the road. I just think this is a good spot for Oklahoma.
Gonna bring it back a little bit more in your wheelhouse, Jerry, and let's take it to the Egg Bowl.
Thanks.
We got Mississippi State traveling to Oxford to play Ole Miss, and the Rebs are a 1.5-point favorite. I almost had to rub my eyes there, but then if you've been watching these two teams, Hugh Freeze has got the Rebs playing pretty well. They've been competitive. You sort of saw it in that Texas game early, and They're Bo Wallace has a pretty good grasp of the offense now. But what is your pick here as, you know, rivalry game, Mississippi State, hot start, slid since then? How are you reading both these teams?
Well, this is a tough one, I think, because, you know, Ole Miss is going to be playing for a bowl. You know, they're not going to go to the postseason if they lose. Clearly, they have a much, much better team than they've had the last few years when Mississippi State has simply blown them out of the water. In some ways, it maybe resembles the game a few years ago when Dan Mullen, I think, was in his first season, and an Ole Miss team that, frankly, had been a little bit disappointing under Houston Nutt showed up in Starkville and got beaten by about 20 points. So it makes me nervous to say I'm picking Mississippi State. I want them straight up and with the 1.5 points there. But I think in the end, it just comes down to, again, which of these two teams is the better team? There's not going to be an edge in motivation or focus necessarily, because Dan Mullen has sort of made it the bedrock of his tenure at Mississippi State is beating Ole Miss. Like he says, we're, you know, the team in Mississippi. This is our state. You know, and trumpets all the in-state recruiting and this kind of stuff. You know, this is not a game he's going to let his team overlook. And he can't really, because, you know, they haven't proven a ton this year. It's better than it's been, but still, you know, they blown out by LSU, blown out by Alabama, blown out badly by Texas A&M. You know, Mississippi State still can't really afford to lose this game. And I think, you know, they're ready for it, and I think Mississippi State has the better team. They have the better defense. I think their offense, when it's clicking with Tyler Russell and Ladarius Perkins, is as good as Ole Miss's is, and I don't see home field being a huge factor. I just think you add all of that up together, and the Bulldogs really ought to win the game.
Tom?
You know, this is a tough game for me to pick because these are two teams who have burned me all season long. No matter which one I've picked, they've always done the opposite. So I went with Ole Miss because I do think, you know, playing for the bowl game is motivation, although in the Egg Bowl, neither team's really going to need the motivation. But just looking at Ole Miss, you know, they beat Auburn and Arkansas for their two SEC wins, which, you know, everybody's doing this year. Then they had that lead against Georgia before that game got out of hand and the Bulldogs ran. But then they were close against Vanderbilt, and they were close against LSU on the road last week. I just feel like this team's getting closer and closer to that breakthrough win every single week. And I think this week's going to be it at home against Mississippi State, a team that they definitely want to win, whether they're 0-12 or 5-6 or 11-0. They want to beat Mississippi State. So I think this is the week that the Rebs break through and get that win they need.
Jerry?
Well, I will agree. When it comes to playing the big dogs of the SEC, Mississippi State has not played as well as Ole Miss has. Ole Miss has played teams like Alabama and Texas A&M, you know, much, much tougher than Mississippi State has. The flip side is that Mississippi State has played the dregs of the SEC much better than Ole Miss has. They routed Arkansas last week, which was team Ole Miss without gained by, needed a late block punt to beat. Almost lost at home to Vanderbilt. You know, that's not, you know, Vandy's obviously a much improved team going to a bowl game again, but that's not a good loss. You know, that was a game Ole Miss was in control of, up 17, kind of collapsed down the stretch. And so, again, I think that speaks to, you know, Ole Miss has had difficulty finishing these home games, kind of no matter who they're playing with, it's Texas A&M or Vanderbilt or whoever. And I think that's going to leave the door open just enough where, you know, Tyler Russell's a very good quarterback. He's been accurate all season, not explosive, but steady. And I think that's basically what you need in a game like this, just kind of control the clock, you know, maybe wait for Ole Miss to make some of these big mistakes that they've made against the likes of Andy. And I think the Bulldogs get the win.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to, and you can argue for both teams in this game. I think,
that's true.
I think, you know, with all the big games that are going on this weekend, this might be the one of those games that's slightly under the radar, but may also be the most, one of the most entertaining games of the day.
Yeah, I agree. No, this is one of the ones that I'm certainly looking forward to, just because I also think it's a great job that Hugh Freeze's been doing at Ole Miss, and you look at some of these recruiting battles he's starting to win. You could be, it's a tough, tough, tough division, as we all know. But I always like to see a coach go into that kind of situation and do a good job. You know, something that some other coaches, like, you know, Derek Dooley, was never able to do that. So always fascinated by that. Last one on Five for Fighting. Remember, Tom holds a 6-4 lead, went 5-0 in the first one. Jerry won last week 4-1. So this one could be a breaking point, a big one. And Tom, you got Nebraska traveling to Iowa, and you got a 14.5 point underdog in the Hawkeyes. What was your pick here? Do you see Iowa covering that just over 2-touchdown spread? And what's your reasoning there?
If Nebraska is in a turkey coma on Friday, Iowa might have a chance to win this game. But I'm taking Nebraska to both win straight up and cover the spread, obviously. It's just Nebraska has everything to play for right now, and Iowa has nothing to play for. There's no bowl game. Nothing is, you know, there's no postseason for Iowa. The season's over. It's senior day, yes. That's really their only motivation. But I'm wondering if the seniors are more just looking forward to getting the season over at this point. Whereas Nebraska, a win sends Nebraska to Indianapolis, where it could play for the Big Ten title and have a chance to go to the Rose Bowl. And besides just the motivation factors, Nebraska is just a much better team than Iowa this year. Even on the road, where Nebraska stumbles a bit, I'm more than comfortable taking them in this game because Iowa has just been terrible on offense, on defense, on special teams. Iowa has not been good all year, and I don't see that changing.
Jerry?
Okay, well, let me tell you why I took Iowa here. It's because of that YouTube video from several years back now.
I know where you're going already.
Where's the high school coach of some big quarterback recruit, I don't even remember. I think it was Chad Henne, maybe. And he's in the locker room before the game with his high school team, and he's just screaming, and he looks at them, and he yells, "Do you have any pride? Do you?" And to me, that's what Kirk Ferentz is doing in the locker room this week. Like, his Hawkeyes have been a miserable, horrible team all season long. And they shouldn't be like this. Like, Iowa should not be a team that rolls over by 2 touchdowns to a Nebraska team that doesn't have a great defense and doesn't play well on the road. You know, do the Hawkeyes have any pride? I think they do. I think that this program and that coaching staff isn't quite so down in the dumpster that they can't summon up, you know, the wherewithal to stay within 2 touchdowns of Nebraska at home. So I took the Hawkeyes with the number.
No, Isaac, you know, like you're saying, Nebraska's been, you know, pretty bad on, or not as good on the road, but have you seen Iowa at home this year? I mean, they lost to Iowa State, Central Michigan, Penn State blew them out, and they lost to Purdue all at home. The only teams they beat in Iowa City this year are Northern Iowa and Minnesota. So I agree. I don't think they're going to lay down and die. I was probably a little over the top when I was saying that before, but it's just, this team, even if it shows up to play, it's just not good. There's no, like, there's no playmakers on that offense. Micah Hyde is the only player on that defense worth his uniform at this point. So there's nobody on the team that I feel like could make a play that could change this game for Iowa's favor at any point in this contest. So when I see that, I can't not take Nebraska.
I don't really have a good argument against that. Iowa is as bad as you say. I just don't think
you're just rooting for the turkey.
Nebraska's going to fully show. I think Nebraska's going to maybe be looking down the road just a little bit, kind of assume this one's in the bag. I mean, it is Iowa, and I think Iowa's just going to play over their heads a bit. I think they were at their low ebb earlier in the season when they lost to Central Michigan at home, which is true, which just abominable loss. But then they came back the next week and played their best game of the season against Minnesota. I think we're going to see maybe their second best game of the season this Saturday, and I think that'll be just enough for against the Nebraska team. And like I said, I think we'll be looking forward a little bit, despite all that they've got to play for.
It's 6-4 going in. Those are the five games on the line, and
11-4 coming out.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. All right, let's. Are you just blowing raspberries into the phone right now?
Yeah.
I like the dramatic pause. Yeah.
All right, Jerry, let's kick me off here with the Iron. Let's kick off the lightning round with the Iron Bowl. Auburn and Alabama. Bama is a 31.5 point favorite the way we picked it. As you said on College Football 360 this week, the line has been moving. But what was your pick here and why?
Yeah, last year, well, I took Alabama with the points. You know, last year the game finished 42-14, but it wasn't even as close as 42-14. Auburn got their 14 points via a kickoff return for touchdown and a fumble in the end zone that they recovered. You know, I don't see how they're going to score, like, at all. Jonathan Wallace, you know, is a true freshman, making his, let's see, third start ever. I don't really see him having a lot of success in the Iron Bowl at Tuscaloosa. Auburn's defense, you know, some of the players are giving it their all. Some of them at this stage of the season maybe aren't. You know, it's just a terrible situation for Auburn to be in. Alabama's Nick Saban doesn't usually run up the score, but, you know, he may make an exception for Auburn a little bit. He did a couple of years ago when Tommy Tuberville was on his last legs. Alabama threw for a touchdown pass with their backups with a couple minutes left. You know, just nothing about this game to me says anything other than 42-3, 45-0, something in that range. I would definitely be taking Alabama.
Notre Dame, of course, national title, BCS title game hopes hang in this one game in the Coliseum against Southern California. Matt Barkley was ruled out very early in the week. Max Wedek guarantees a win for the Trojans. The spread is 3.5 in favor of the Irish. Tom, what was your pick and why?
This would not be the first time that USC destroyed Notre Dame's title hopes in the final weekend of the season, but I don't think it's going to happen again this week. I took Notre Dame -3.5. It's just, all year, you know, when it comes to Notre Dame's defense, you've heard, you know, the secondary was a problem. I mean, I'm just saying it. The secondary is a huge problem. But all year, Notre Dame, you know, comes to facing point and you say, okay, Miami's the team that will be able to expose their secondary. Oklahoma's the team that will be able to expose their secondary. So on and so forth. Nobody's done it yet. So when you look at USC, and now especially that Matt Barkley's not playing, and an offensive line that, you know, it's been good, but it's not as good as we all thought it was going to be before the year, whereas Notre Dame's defensive line at front seven has been out of this world. I think Notre Dame's going to win this game, and I think it might not be all that close, because when you look at Notre Dame, if it's not Notre Dame, if Notre Dame's called Alabama or LSU, we don't think there's any chance they're going to lose this game with it, because it's Notre Dame's kind of an SEC team this year. It's got a great defense and a questionable offense, which has worked well for SEC teams the last few years. So I see Notre Dame. I think, you know, people might say don't want to think they're the best team in the country, but they're number one because they're the only undefeated team, and they might be number one just because they really are the best team in the country.
All right. I'm just kidding. I picked Notre Dame as well. Georgia Tech traveling to Athens to play Georgia. Both teams will be competing the following week in their respective conference championship games. Georgia in the SEC, Georgia Tech playing Florida State in the ACC championship game. Jerry, the spread was 13.5 in favor of the Dogs. What was your pick and why?
I took Georgia in this one. I just don't think the option's really going to be that intimidating for Georgia's defense. They faced it last week against Georgia Southern. They've seen it for years now, playing Georgia Tech year after year. And Georgia's defense finally seems to be waking up a little bit, starting with that you know, game against Florida where they just kind of completely shut down the Gators. You know, this is the sort of defense. Lots of penetration with Jarvis Jones, you know, really solid defensive tackles and this sort of thing that, you know, kind of gives Georgia Tech fits. That's what you want when you go against the Yellow Jackets, is disruption and, you know, solid defensive play up front. Georgia's got that. Georgia Tech's defense is still not really the sort of unit that makes me think Aaron Murray is going to have a whole lot of issues in this game. 13.5 is a little bit more than I would like to give up, but I do think Georgia rolls in this one.
We got Michigan traveling to Columbus to play Ohio State. The Buckeyes trying to finish a perfect season despite their postseason ineligibility. Michigan hoping for a miracle Nebraska loss and a win to be able to jump them and get into the Big Ten title game. The spread is 4.5 in favor of the Buckeyes. Tom, what's your read on this this traditional Big Ten showdown?
I am the only one of our CBSSports.com experts who actually took Michigan to win this game straight up. And the reason I think that Michigan is going to win this game is if you look at Ohio State this season as a team, it's pretty much gone. Now Braxton Miller is gone. There's been games where Ohio State's had close calls. You know, Braxton would be off to a slow start in the first and second quarter, and therefore Ohio State would be in a slow start, and then Braxton would show up, and Ohio State would pull away. And you're like, if you looked at the game against Purdue when Miller got hurt and left, Ohio State nearly lost at home to Purdue without Miller. So, and you look, the two games that Miller has struggled the most this year were against Michigan State and last week against Wisconsin. Now, both those teams were on the road, but both those teams were also against teams with really good defenses. And the defense of Michigan is right up there with Wisconsin and Michigan State. So I think the Wolverines will be able to keep Braxton in check. And if you do that, you can stop Ohio State. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, I think Michigan's a much better offensive team with Devin Gardner at quarterback than they ever were with Denard Robinson. And I think against an Ohio State defense that really hasn't been that great this season, the Wolverines are going to be able to put up a lot of points on the Buckeyes just like they did last season. And I don't think the Buckeyes will be able to keep up.
Oregon traveling to Corvallis to play Oregon State. The Ducks need a win and a Stanford loss to be able to get back into the Pac-12 title game and keep long shot, but still decent title hopes alive. The spread, the way we picked it, was the Ducks minus 10.5 against the Beavers. Jerry, what was your pick in this Civil War game and why?
Well, again, kind of with Georgia Tech, it's, you know, it makes me a little uneasy giving up 10.5 in a very competitive rivalry game. And in this case, the Ducks are even going on the road. But I still took the Ducks minus the 10.5. I think, you know, they've just been so consistent, A, on the road, B, you know, winning by large margins when they win. You know, Oregon State is a very good team. I think they've got a solid defense, a solid running game. But I just don't think they're the sort of team that can hang with Oregon. They've done a great job, again, against the rest of the Pac-12. But I'm not sure if I really see the kind of athletes, you know, that really sort of lockdown, penetrating defense that we saw from Stanford that the Cardinal used against Oregon last week. You know, and with Oregon, it's a little bit of an all or nothing sort of thing. Either they get going and blow you out, or they get kind of stalled out the way they did against Stanford and against Cal a couple of years ago when they kind of got lucky with a missed field goal. If you remember that game, I think that was 2010. You know, it's kind of all one or the other. I think they're going to get going in this game. I think they're probably wounded and stinging from last week, and they haven't, you know, really had a lot of problems with Oregon State the last couple of years. I think the Ducks roll.
The last of our ACC-SEC in-state rivalry games for this week, Wake and Vandy kind of have a pseudo-rivalry. But Tom, tell me in this Florida-Florida State game, what you're picking here? Both of these teams are sitting up in the top 10 of the BCS standings, yet, you know, both teams still have, they need a lot of help for them to be able to sneak up into the mix. The Seminoles are favored by 5.5. We find out this week that starting quarterback Jeff Driscoll will play after resting that ankle a little bit. What was your pick in the game and why?
We're about to get some angry emails from Florida fans, Chip. I took Florida State to win and to cover. I just want to, you know, Florida's ranked fourth in the BCS right now. But if Florida was an ACC team or a Big Ten team or a Pac-12 team, and its last four games included a terrible, ugly, disgusting, just not fun to watch loss to Georgia, a 14-7 win over Missouri at home, a 27-20 win over Louisiana Lafayette, in which the Gators needed to block a punt with 2 seconds left in the game to win, and a mediocre 23-0 win at home against Jacksonville State, would we be ranking them number four in the BCS?
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't. They'd be where Florida State is at number 10. The only reason Florida's ranked as high as it is right now is because of its history and where it plays its football. And this week, Florida, there's no way in hell I could put any faith in a team that's played the way Florida has played the last month. And yeah, Florida State lost earlier this year on the road against North Carolina State, but that's because Florida State has to lose at least one stupid road game every season. And since then, the Seminoles have played very well, and they had their test on the road against Virginia Tech, and they came back and they passed it. I see Florida State beating the Gators pretty badly this weekend. Not like, you know, a 40-point win, but a 24-7 type of game, yes.
We got Missouri and Texas A&M, the two teams that entered the SEC from the Big 12 together and went in opposite directions in 2012. Texas A&M all the way up to number 9 in the polls. The Aggies are at home and favored by 21.5. Jerry, what was your pick and why?
I took the Aggies minus the 21.5. Again, it's a large number to give up when you're talking about Missouri. Now needing a win just to go bowling, after the loss to Syracuse last week. And these are old, Big 12 rivals. Missouri's had some success against Texas A&M in the past. Certainly Missouri staff is not going to be surprised, I think, by Texas A&M's, more sort of Big 12 style of offense the way Alabama's maybe was. So for those reasons make me want to pick Mizzou, say, okay, well, surely 3 touchdowns is too much. But, man, first of all, James Franklin is kind of questionable for this game. He's banged up. He's been banged up basically all season. I don't have a lot of faith that against Texas A&M's pass rush, he's going to be able to stick it out through the entire game. And the other thing is Texas A&M has just been dynamite, at home against lesser teams. Blew out Arkansas earlier in the season. They're like Oregon in that when they get rolling, they have really just destroyed teams. Auburn, Mississippi State. It's just been really, really ugly at times. If you are a team that's had to go to Kyle Field or even face A&M at home the way Auburn did. So, I think this game really edges more towards that kind of blowout than a closer game. Texas A&M, I think, is now the number 3 team in Sagarin's predictor rating. I'm not going to go against that kind of just pure, scoring prowess, strength, whatever. I think there's an argument to be made for Missouri here, but I think at this point you have to side with the Aggies.
And we are going to wrap up the lightning round now with some Big East time. So, Tom, lead us off. We got UConn traveling to Papa John's Stadium, facing number 19, Louisville. The Cardinals are 13.5-point favorites at home. And they, along with Rutgers, this is sort of the last tune-up before that Thursday night game next week that everyone's had circled. Do you see any kind of look ahead, any kind of letdown here, or what's your pick and why?
Jerry, this is the most important game on the schedule for both Louisville and UConn because the winner gets the ACC spot. The last time we saw Louisville weren't pretty at all against Syracuse on the road. Their undefeated season was coming to an end. But they had last week off to lick their wounds, and they're returning home to face a UConn team that just hasn't been very good. So even though I don't like taking a spread this big with Louisville just because they have a tendency to play games close, I'm still taking the Cardinals minus the 13.5 just because if you look at UConn on the road this year, they beat Maryland 24-21, which, good for you. But they lost to Western Michigan on the road. They lost to Rutgers. They got killed by Syracuse. They lost to South Florida. So there's no reason to have any faith in the Huskies to beat or even cover against the Cardinals this week.
Rutgers hitting the road to play Pittsburgh. And this is interesting. Second week in a row, Rutgers on the road is playing against a team and is an underdog. Rutgers plus 2.5 against the Panthers. Jerry, what was your pick?
Rutgers. I don't understand that line. Like, that's one of the ones that really leaves me scratching my head. The Ole Miss-Mississippi State line, that one, okay. Like I said, Ole Miss has maybe played some of the better teams in the SEC a little bit better. You can make an argument they're the better team. I don't see how you make an argument that Pitt's the better team than Rutgers at this stage of the season. Pitt's had some good performances here and there. They've also had some very, very poor performances here and there. Whereas Rutgers, with the exception of the Kent State game, they've pretty much been consistent week in, week out. The defense is going to bring it. The running game is going to bring it. I don't understand why Rutgers is the underdog in this game. I like the Scarlet Knights.
And let's y'all split on this one, but I figured that judging by the participants, it was not a whole lot of. Let's get from both of you. Not a whole lot to really break down with the X's and O's. Talking about Utah State as a 39.5-point favorite over Idaho. And that's actually come down. The line opened at around 40.5. Let's start with you, Tom, real quickly. Pick, any reasoning, any good luck charm or thoughts on that one?
Biggest game of the weekend, Chip, by far. I took Idaho because 39.5 is a lot of points.
Jerry.
I'm just, like, amazed that enough people bet on this game to move the line in any direction. Like, who really looks at that and says, you know what, I'm going to take some of my hard-earned money that I have, you know, presumably worked either at a job or, you know, maybe my late grandfather left me in his will or something, and the thing I'm going to do with this money is I'm going to wager it on whether Utah State, you know, will win by 40 points against Idaho, or Idaho will lose by less than 40 points to Utah State. It just, that strikes me as an unusual decision to make in one's life. I went with Utah State because they've been covering the spread all year, and Idaho has, you know, kind of fallen apart here over the last few weeks with their coach being fired. But, you know, don't even hold me to that, really.
No, that's why I didn't include it. Aren't you glad that wasn't one of the five for Friday? Yeah. anyway, my thanks to Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hennen. As always, follow them on Twitter at Jerry Hennen, at Tom Fornelli. And we, from all of us at the Eye on College Football, CBSSports.com, we'd like to wish you, the listeners, a happy Thanksgiving. We hope you have the best of times. We are very thankful that you tune into our podcast, and we encourage you to subscribe and possibly go review, rate, and tell all your friends about it. But definitely thankful that you are here and spending a little bit of time with us. Everybody, enjoy your weekend and enjoy the games.
I love you all.